question when I said that the soul doesn't directly control the body. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Matter and spirit are two different realities. And in general, the way we observe matter, at least the way science observes matter, is that all material phenomena can be explained in terms of material causes. And that is what science tries to do. So last year I was invited to Cambridge to speak on science and spirituality. So while going there, we passed by the same tree where Newton is said to have seen the fruit falling. Now Newton believed in God. But when he saw the fruit falling, he asked the question, what made this fruit fall? He was not looking for the answer, God made the fruit fall. Although that is also an answer. But he is looking for a material mechanism. So basically, when we talk about causes of things, there can be multiple levels of causation. So for example, what made the fruit fall? We could say, okay, you know, maybe the fruit had ripened and its weight had increased so much that the tree could not hold it, that's why it fell. That's one level of causation. Another level of causation is, okay, even if its weight increased, why did it fall? That's because of the law of gravity. A third level of causation is, ultimately nothing happens without Krishna's will. So Krishna's will, Krishna's sanction, that's the third level of causation. So science, when it approaches the study of matter, science is not atheistic, science is not theistic. Science is non-theistic. Non-theistic means science does not consider God as an explanation when it is looking for explanations of natural phenomena. Now, of course, we can ask the question that when science is finding out material mechanisms, who made those material mechanisms? And that can point to God. But science intrinsically is a non-theistic body of knowledge. So some atheists may use it to promote atheism. That's a different thing. But science itself is not against God. It is just a body of knowledge which looks for material explanations for material phenomena. So within this understanding of science, science has something called as the causal completeness of nature. Causal completeness means that any effect that we see within nature, its cause can be explained in terms of some other natural phenomena. So we don't need anything supernatural to explain anything natural. That is the idea of science. So, okay, the rain fell. Okay, why did the rain fall? Okay, because there were clouds in the sky. Okay, the winds came very stormy. Why were there such stormy winds? Okay, because there was a hurricane over there, because there was a disturbance over there which led to a pause over here. So as far as operation practically is concerned, science does work very well in terms of this concept of causal completeness. That, okay, all natural phenomena can be explained in terms of natural causes. However, as I said, that it is a correct explanation, but it need not be a complete explanation. Like I said that, you know, why did the car move? Because the wheel moved from the vertical to the horizontal. That's a correct explanation. And I could say, you know, just the simple act of the wheel moving that much, and then the gas being pressed, the accelerator being pressed, you could say then that by the mechanism of the car, that force gets multiplied and the car moves accordingly. So we can explain that in terms of causes. But there is something else also happening. And that is, there's a driver who has a desire to go somewhere. So with respect to the soul and the body's functioning itself does not require the soul to be present. By functioning, I mean that in terms of this bodily functioning. So when I say the soul is not required to be present, what I mean is, not that the soul is of course the activating principle, but if I treat the body as a biological machine, the body needs food to eat, the body needs oxygen, the body needs blood circulation. There are material mechanisms which are needed for the body to function. This is one level of understanding the body. And if any of those material mechanisms don't work, the body will not function. If I feel weak, that's because either I have not eaten or somehow because of some problem in my body, what I eat is not getting transformed into energy. So we can't say that the energy of the body, by energy I'm using the scientific term energy, not the principal energy, like the energy we get, that comes from the food. That doesn't directly come from the soul. What the soul does is, the soul is the basic presence which makes matter capable of functioning in conscious ways. So researchers still don't know why matter which has life, or matter through which life is manifested, and matter which has no life, they behave in very different ways. So for example, the stool. Now if I cut it, it will get cut. The stool's existence basically goes through three phases. There is creation, deterioration and destruction. The house is created, it deteriorates, it is destroyed over a period of time. But when life is present in a particular biochemical system, in a body, there are three more changes that happen. There is growth, there is maintenance, and there is reproduction. It would be wonderful if we buy a small house and it grows on its own, it becomes a big house. It doesn't happen like that. We have a small baby, the small baby grows. So growth, now what, we may say that okay, cell reproduction is happening and all that, but if we look at the fundamental material level, this stool and this body are made of the same atoms and molecules. Why do the atoms and molecules here behave differently from here? And then there is maintenance. If my hand gets cut, clotting happens, healing happens. The body maintains itself. If a stool is cut, it will not clot and heal itself. There's no such thing like that. And then there is reproduction. No matter how complicated a computer or robo we make, maybe in science fiction movies we may see, but there is no he robo and she robo coming together and producing a baby robo. Reproduction doesn't happen. So these are distinctive features: maintenance, growth and reproduction. They are manifested only when there is, we could say, ensouled matter. We will talk about the embodied soul, the concept we call ensouled matter. That means matter in which soul is present. So why I was talking about this is, we accept the causal completeness in terms of the mechanisms which science uses to explain. But there is much that science can't explain. So there is a role for non-material factors also to act. Now, how exactly the soul act? The soul's consciousness is projected into the body. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives an example. Krishna gives two examples actually, in 13.33 and 34. One, to illustrate how the soul is different from the body, is not entangled in the body. The second, to how the soul activates the body. So, yatha sarvagatam saukshmyada akasham nopalipyate sarvatravasito dehe tathatma nopalipyate. So just as the sky is all pervading, it does not mix with the other matter. But in the ether is said to be the substratum in which everything is present. So that it is different from everything, but everything is contained within it. So now what is ether? It's a little complicated to understand. Science talks about space. Now, we say, now what is space? Space is absence of matter. That's what science is, empty spaces. But actually there's no such thing as empty space. There's some matter is always present. So, again, the next example that Krishna gives is, that yatha prakashi yatyeka krishnam lokam imamravi kshetram kshetritha krishnam prakashayati bharata. So it's just as the sun illumines the universe, like that the soul illumines the body. Now the sun is far away from the earth, but the sun's rays get projected onto the earth. And the sun's rays cause photosynthesis to happen, cause plants to grow, cause flowers to blossom. So many changes happen over here. Although the sun is physically far away, like that the soul's consciousness gets projected into the body. And the projection of the consciousness of the soul into the body is what enables the soul to act. So, I have written a book on reincarnation. in which I have got a whole appendix or deal with the mind-matter interaction, or sorry, the soul-body interaction. So a modern example that we may use is virtual intelligence. If somebody is playing a video game in which say the grand car robbery or whatever, some kind of game they're playing. Now there is a player who is playing and press this button, move this thing. If it's a virtual reality game, then you may have many levers also. Now if you look at the mechanism by which the game is played, whatever car moved this way, the car moved that way, the car went here, this happened, all that can be explained in terms of digital electronics. Okay, this signal was generated over here, that's why the car moved this way. The signal was generated, it was moved in this way. But the person is experiencing emotions. There's a person who had intention, and that person who had intention played the game, and the person experienced emotions. So that intention to play the game is what causes the consciousness to get projected into the virtual reality, into that video game. And there is a mechanism by which the game is played. And you could explain, you could say there is causal completeness, this button is pressed, this moves this way. But still, activating it all is the intention of the player who wants to play. In 13.21, Krishna talks about this. He says, Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti ruchyate purushah sukha dukkhanam bhoktrutve hetu ruchyate. He says, Karya karana kartrutve, that cause and effect, all this happens within material nature. But we experience pleasure and pain. That is because of the bhoktrutve, because of the desire to enjoy, because of the projection of consciousness. So basically, the material world can be explained in terms of material cause and effects. Of course, it cannot be exhaustively explained, like I explained how ensouled matter behaves differently. We can explain it in terms of, because the cells grow, that's why it happened, the cell have a healing capacity. But why is that there at all? Why is that not there here, and why is that here? So there are some explanations which do not come even when we talk about the causal completeness of science. But more importantly, the soul is not in contradiction, the soul and spiritual knowledge is not in contradiction to scientific knowledge. It is a different level of causation. It's a different, just like the digital mechanism by which the video game is played. That is one level of causation. The players coming and playing is another level of causation. Both work in parallel. So similarly, the body functions according to certain biochemical mechanisms, biophysical mechanisms. That's one level of causation. But the soul's projection of consciousness is another level of causation. And both work in parallel. Does that answer your question? Thank you.